Hi everyone, it's Aliza Licht here, your host, and I'm so thrilled to share that my new book, On Brand, Shape Your Narrative, Share Your Vision, Shift Their Perception, is out now. I hope you'll pick up a copy because personal branding is for everyone. It's for the new graduate starting out, the middle manager looking to level up, the executive who wants to be a thought leader, the entrepreneur starting from scratch. It's for anyone who wants to pivot or transition into something new. Because having a strong personal brand means that your name gets dropped in rooms you're not in, and that you're thought of for opportunities that other people haven't even heard of yet. So pick up a copy, and I can't wait to hear what you think. Hi, this is Aliza Licht, and this is Leave Your Mark, the podcast, where I brew fresh career advice with some of my most inspiring and successful friends. It's professional advice that you can action immediately, whether you're just starting out in your career or well on your way. With a massive to-do list and a large cup of coffee, I promise that you can get it all done and still have time to post about it. If you've ever watched any red carpet award show, and you've looked at any single person's hands holding, probably back in the day, a Judith Lieber clutch, Deborah Lipman has probably done those nails. Deborah is the go-to celebrity manicurist for the most fashionable magazines and the renowned fashion houses, as well as an awe-inspiring list of celebrities that includes literally everyone from Oprah Winfrey and Lady Gaga and beyond that. Deborah, you established your brand in 1999, and you founded it with the ethos of quality nail care and almost like a luxurious mentality to nail care, which was not really done and actually hasn't really been done since. You sort of own the market in that. And of course, informed by your years in the red carpet and fashion runway shows and editorial, your brand is super locks with ultra high standards in terms of product performance, and it's crafted to nourish and support nails and skin. And now you have actually a skincare line too. You have a night cream called The Cure, which I can't wait to hear all about. I mean, you've been crowned a mega manicurist by Vogue. You're one of the best manicurists in the country. Of course, you know, that's a small thing compared to the brand and this empire that you've created. But what I think is amazing is you're multi-talented, and actually you're a super accomplished jazz singer. That was your dream growing up, to do that. So tell us a little bit about your background.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm really, really blushing. So my background is that I came out of the womb wanting to sing. I really did. I came out of the womb wanting to sing, and I still sing. I sing every day. I sing professionally. I have three records that really came because, well, it came because of the nail brand, because I named all of my color song titles. But to back up, I grew up in Arizona. I think my first singing contest, I was five, that I won. Like, I was just something that I just loved it. I have a degree in music, followed that path. And when I finished college, I was singing in wedding and bar mitzvah bands, which was really, really, really fun for a while. But then I was like, I don't want to do this as my bread and butter, because I don't want to make it, you know, like people who are great cooks who then open a restaurant and then are like, I hate cooking now, like you know, that sort of thing. So I was like, what can I do as my, you know, day job? And my mother, God rest her soul, I said to her after she got me through college, and trust me, she had to work to get me through college. I came home to her house one night and I was like, I'm going to go to cosmetology school. And she said, it's not really funny anymore, over my dead body. But as a parent who like gets their kid through college and has had this dream of music. And then I'm like, well, but I wasn't giving it up. And it turned out to be a great thing to do. And then I fell really into singing jazz, which didn't pay tons of money, even in the club. So I would like go to cosmetology school during the day and then go and stand on my high heels for 4 hours a night singing wherever I was singing. And I was like, well, this is not as easy as I thought it was going to be. And then my manicurist, because I was in this like Vegas-y show where we traveled and did parties for big events and stuff, and I had to have my nails done because I was a nail biter my whole life.
Wow. That's ironic.
This is ironic. I was a nail biter my whole life. I went to college. I'm still a nail biter. I get my
this. No, job. You are not still a nail
no,
biter.
No, I'm not still. No, when I was in college, I was I'm not. But I really have so much heart for people who are, because it is a hard habit to break, boy.
For
it is
sure.
a hard habit to break. So anyway, when I'm in cosmetology school, and I had never painted a nail. When we get to the portion where you're doing manicures, I was like, I have no idea. And I had long acrylics at the time. They're not good for your nails, but they're so I was like, my gosh, this standing up is really, really rough. Standing up for like 8 hours during the day and then standing up 4 hours at night. And my manicurist at the time was like, well, why don't you do manicuring as your day job? Because you can sit down all day.
It's pretty logical, actually.
I was like, oh, but I really love doing makeup. And I really did love doing makeup. My first couple jobs after school were makeup. I was a makeup artist. And then I was like, no, my feet are just killing me. And music always wins. So landed in the manicuring world. In the early 90s, I moved to New York. And I wanted to, you know, work with better musicians and get better as a singer, because I kind of excelled as much as I thought I could at that time in Arizona. And moved to New York. And got a job at Frederick Fekkai Salon in the 90s when it was the most
everything.
And I was like, here I am, this girl from Arizona, going, what is going on? And I mean, Martha Stewart became my client. And
I mean, everyone passed through there.
Everybody passed through there. I loved it. I loved it so much. I've always loved, since I started manicuring, I've really always loved the holding hands of people. I just love it. And sitting across a small table and sharing, that's been something that, I mean, I've been married for almost 24 years. I don't sit across the table from my husband for 30 minutes and hold his hands. Even if I'm giving him a manicure, it's like, he's my business partner. He and my brother are my business partner. So even if I'm giving him a manicure, he's not paying attention to me. And this was luckily before, when I started Pekkai, it was before the cell phone and before the, I mean, when I got married, I think like probably half of the girls in my wedding party came out of my manicure chair. My very best friend that I'm godmother to her kids came out of Frederick Fekkai sitting in my chair. There's such an intimacy. It's just different than all of the other beauty treatments. Like if you're having a facial, your eyes are closed. So it might feel really great. And you may talk to your service provider. And like I do, and I am a talker. So, but I learned kind of the art of knowing when to talk and when not to talk, and seeing my customers and feeling my customers' energy. And I decided early on, because I was working with pretty high profile people, people who, you know, ran companies and were super strong women in New York, like tough women in New York, would sit in my chair. And I was like, and I would take their hands and I would think, boy, I'm going to make her feel better before this is done. Like I'm going to. And so I would work on my massage technique until I could see their shoulders go down and the breathing change. Now I'm like into breath work and all that stuff, but I was like, it was just sort of something I needed to do for my clients to kind of get me through the day as well.
What made you decide to sort of start a business though? I mean, first of all, if you recall in the late 90s into the 2000s when Fekkai was Fekkai, although I do think that he's made a comeback now that he's sort of bought it back, but they gave all editors free hair care. So I was at Mary Claire back then. And I mean, I went to Fekkai for 10 years. Every single magazine editor was there at the same time. And we would just all get our hair done. It was like, that was the place to be. I can appreciate the vibe.
The vibe was so major. So I'd been doing it, you know, holding hands with people, for women and men, for many, many, many years. And there were so many commonalities in misinformation that women had about nails. Like for instance, they would come in and women would one after another hand me a base coat that they wanted me to use that had formaldehyde in it, which we all know now is just such a no-no. And it was the early days of editors writing about the fact that it was a no-no. And the polish that we used was Chanel in the salon, which pretty, you know, highbrow polish. And women would hand me their base coat and then say, I certainly hope the polish you use here doesn't have formaldehyde in it. But the base coat was the number one ingredient was formaldehyde. And we all loved it because formaldehyde, it worked. But it wasn't good for us. So there was just no education on, basically on nail care. There was just no education anywhere in the luxury sector. And so Laura Mercier and Bobby Brown were clients. Well, Bobby was a client in the salon. And she told Laura Magazine about me in the early, like the first year I was in New York. They came in undercover and did their, you know, I had no idea. I mean, I knew nothing about you geniuses and PR, any of this stuff that is now such a big part of my life. But Bobby called Allure. They came in undercover and they had that section in the magazine of, you know, where to get the best this or that in the country. And they came in and photographed me and put me in the magazine. Now, of course, some of it was, now I know, was because I was at Frederick High. It wasn't necessarily all me, but that really jumped up my profile. And celebrities, assistants saw my name and then they would call for me. And that was kind of how I started segueing. And then you editors would come into the salon and then start writing about me. And Bobby said to me, you need to do a brand because, like, you know, editors are writing about you and you don't have a product to sell. And I'm like, whoa.
But Bobby, I love it. I love it.
I'm a singer. And same with
I'm a singer, right?
But I'm a singer. And it was really this whole thing. And I just, like, in my brain, I was like, I do these two things. I love these two things. I came to New York to really get better at the voice. And then all of a sudden, like, the manicuring is just starting to go like this. And I would call my mom. I remember one time there was an article on Orbe, Francois Nars, and me. I had no idea how massive, incredible, epic that was. Called my mom. I was like, Mom, I would in Vogue magazine, like written about in Vogue magazine this month. She was like, that's so awesome. Did you audition? Did you go sing in any clubs?
Like, what's the animal? She was still waiting for the big musical career.
The big music. And she just wanted to make sure that I kept doing it, which, you know, I was singing in jazz clubs at night. I'd found my way into singing in jazz clubs. And that's another whole podcast, the music side. But they always have gone hand in hand. Those two things. So Bobby was really encouraging me to do a brand. I was like, I have no idea how to do a brand. I have, like, no business, whatever. And then I had started doing shoots as well. And Laura Mercier was someone who I worked with a lot on my early days of shoots. We had the same agent, which, who knew there was an agent for manicurists?
Right. Well, I did, but yeah.
But like, yes, who knew there was an agent for manicurists? So we had the same agent. So we wound up on a lot of the same jobs. And she said the same thing to me. She was like, you should really start a brand. It was when her brand was very, very new. Bobby's brand was just in Bergdorf when I met her in the Fakai days. And then there was this moment where I've been doing Mariah Carey, one of my first huge celebrity clients that I still see from time to time and love to death. She was going to be singing at the Oscars. And these incredible women that I work with, you know, they get dressed up and get, you know, the glam and all that all the time. It's just one thing after another. So it's not every day that they're super, super excited about getting dressed up. It's not, you know, that's not every event that they're super, super excited about what they're going to wear. And everybody was sending dresses to Mariah and everybody was going to be doing something special. The hair discussions were going on and the makeup discussions were going on. And I was just like, what can I do? I want to do something special for her. Like, this is such a big thing. And so I just mixed some colors together to create something that would just be hers for that night, you know, just be just from the heart kind of thing. And she went crazy for it. I mean, it was a nude, which is might be what I'm known for now, nudes and reds. It was a nude, but she loved it so much and then wanted more of it. And I was like, I have no idea how I made that. I mean, I can replicate it. One day I say with love, she put her big high heel into my rear end and said, you need to do a brand. Stop being afraid of it. You can still sing. You can do more than one thing at one time. And that was a moment. And there was another moment where I guess I talked about doing a brand a lot to my friends because so many people were in my face about it, but it wasn't really something I had a passion to do. And I was in CO Bigelow, where they now carry my product. I was in CO Bigelow with one of my best girlfriends, and we were looking at, you know, cosmetics. And I was like, oh, I was looking at nail polish. If I did a brand, I would blah, 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 blah. And maybe I would blah, 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 blah. And my girlfriend looked at me. She turned and looked at me. And she was like, either do it
or shut up.
Shut up. Like, stop talking about it.
How long between Bobby's advice and Laura's advice and Mariah? Like, how long were you like mulling this over for by the time you got to the Mariah conversation?
I would say 3 years.
Wow. So you were really just like not convinced.
Maybe even longer. Yeah, I was not convinced. But then I also had this thing, you know, a big part of the reason that I really ended up doing it was that I really wanted to help women understand nail care and get that education piece and understand proper cuticle. You know, cuticles are so important.
On the day that you decided, okay, I am going to do this, what was the first thing you did? How do you even endeavor to make this thing?
Well, back in the day, there wasn't the web.
Right, I know.
Not in the Yellow Pages. Right. In the Yellow Pages, there wasn't like, here's where you buy nail polish. Here's where you go to a nail polish manufacturer or a bottle manufacturer or whatever. And so Sue Devitt, who was a makeup artist, celeb makeup artist that also had her own brand, one day I talked to her and she gave me the name of one bottle manufacturer. And that one bottle manufacturer, the gentleman that I talked to was Benny Calderon. I will never forget him and love him to death. He gave me the name of five more people, and those five people gave me the name of five more people, and those five people. And then I started building this group of people that we worked with. I mean, some of the labs wouldn't talk to me because they were like, you know, I mean, I was just a girl with no business background, but a passion and a dream that had built over many years. My brother and my husband are my co-founders or my partners. And I was talking about it. And I finally said, I got married in 98. And I said to my husband, pretty soon after that, I'm going to start this nail polish brand. And he was like, over my dead body. And I'm like,
why?
You didn't know anything about business.
Your mom got to him.
And he was like, no way. And now she pretty much runs the company. He became my boss. And so prior to that, or around that same time, my brother had heard me talking about it. And our fax, do you remember fax machines?
Well, doctors still have them. So yeah, I remember them.
Oh, okay. So our fax machine went off, and all of these fonts of different, initially the brand was called Lipman Collection because I wanted to save Deborah Lipman to be the singer. And I didn't
got
understand
it.
So much better to put them together. So in the beginning, it was Lipman Collection. And my brother sent over all of these different fonts. He was way ahead of me. He's also a musician and actor. My husband is an actor. He's like doing something right now. So all these fonts come over and I called my brother and I'm like, are you saying that you want to be involved in this crazy idea I have? And he was like, you know, pages of Lipman Collection came through. And he was like, yeah. And when we launched the brand a year later in 99, he built a website and we were e-commerce ready on day one, which in 99 was...
That's crazy.
Was crazy. It was crazy. My brother's a genius. And so, and then my husband was like, he could see that we needed help. And he just jumped in eventually and was like, all right. And then, you know, he went to accounting school. I mean, we were like all wearing every hat in the world and trying to, you know, learn reading every book. And so here we are almost like we just today started talking about our 25th anniversary, which is,
oh my God, congratulations. That's amazing. So what inspired now to do other parts of the body?
It's always been something that we wanted to do, but I was so known for nails. I didn't want to step on, like when we did lip gloss, I was like, oh, I'm so afraid that like the makeup artist that I work with will think less of me. It was emotionally something that I had to really get past and go, okay, you know what? It was okay for me to cross over finally into these other categories that I wanted to do for so long. And we have had such success in Deborah Lipman with our treatment products, with our cuticle products, our Rich Girl hand cream. Anything that we made for the body was always in our top sellers. And, you know, I finally had to get over myself and go, okay, I'm going to do these things. And so we created first a body shimmer that is really, really beautiful. We worked 3 years on it to get just this really, really delicate, fine kind of luxury. I mean, it's definitely not a Kim Kardashian bling kind of thing. It's a very subtle and moisturizing effect. It's something, you know, like how I'm touching myself as I talk about it. We launched lip gloss with CBD in it. As I look at you though, I also enjoy a dark lipstick, which we haven't done yet. Could be coming soon. It's like an obsession of mine. And then we just launched the Cure night cream, which as I'm not, you know, a person that's aging and I wanted to do something that was really great for skin. And I feel like it's such a different world now in the way that you launch things or the way that, you know, I think that a beauty brand in the past would not go from nails to lip to, you know, a product here or there. But because so much is done on the web, it's a different landscape. So as a business, like 10 years ago, we would not have gone into a skincare thing because it would have been weird on the shelves and nowhere to merchandise it. And
right,
that's sort of how it became okay to now put into motion a lot of the things that have been on our back burner burning away.
What do you think makes your brand so successful?
We're a family business. We're still a small business. And I think that somehow people can feel that even if they don't really delve into knowing it. There is love and care that goes into the products that is not a big brand that just is like throwing stuff out there. There is such passion from everyone on our team. We have a little team of like 8 people.
Wow. You do a lot with 8 people.
I'm tired.
You're tired, but you know what? You love it. So, I mean, obviously before your mom passed away, like, did she ever come around to be like, okay, like you actually built something amazing?
Oh, she can't. She's like beside herself. Absolutely beside herself. So proud of us that she couldn't even see straight. But so I named all the color song titles, the nail polishes song titles in the beginning, because when I was kind of trying to figure out how to name things, I didn't want to say, you know, this is pink number 6, because you might look at a pink and think that it's peach, or you might look at a red and think that it's berry. And so I find for myself that I may not buy things if they say that they're pink and I think it's peach. So I thought, how else do I do this? We came up with the song title thing, which just made sense. I didn't really realize that it was a really good marketing idea at the time. But at the earlier days, my husband and I would be on the road doing trunk shows, you know, more or less going into stores and meeting with customers and meeting with customers and meeting with customers. And when they would ask us about the names of, you know, the colors and go, oh, that's a song. Did you know that that's a song? The customers would say to me, did you know that that's a song?
And I'd be like, you had no idea. It's so funny.
I didn't know that it was a song, which led to me singing in the middle of a Nordstrom.
Please, oh, that's amazing.
Customers, will you sing something? Will you sing something? I mean, belting out songs in the middle of a Nordstrom or a Neiman's.
Wait,
for years.
Why didn't you ever sing backstage at a Donna Karan show or on the runway? You could have done that.
Well, I would have.
Donna should have asked you. That's so funny.
I would have. Well, I did sing for her at the Apple unveiling for Donna. I did. And it's always crossed over. And just like this past, a couple of weekends ago, I sang at Michaela Erlanger's wedding. She's a fashion stylist.
Oh my God. I mean, her pictures are beyond.
I mean, it was so epic. I'm still dreaming about it. And I sang there.
Oh my God. That's amazing.
And people are like, wait, I didn't know that you were a singer. I'm like, it still happens. Yeah. And that, I mean, it's such an honor and it's such a beautiful thing for me to give back to people.
What would you say to someone who dreams about starting a brand today, but it's such a different time? So you obviously have all this experience and looking back on your entire career. Is there something that if you were starting today, or even with The Cure, like, are you positioning things or doing things differently today than when you launched your Nell collection in 1999?
Well, we're definitely doing things different today than we did in 1999 because the landscape is so different and there's so much web. There's so much that happens on the web. So, you know, in a store, it's all about merchandising. Where do you put it and how does it make sense? And on the web, it's different for us. So I, of all people, I'm a big believer that if you dream it, you can make it happen if you stick to it. Know that it's going to be the hardest thing you've ever done, but it's going to be the most fulfilling thing you've ever done. And you just have to, like, you have to ask a lot of questions and you have to go with your gut at the end of the day. You have to believe in your choices and you have to stand by your choices. And there's so much information out there that there wasn't when I started.
But you know what's interesting, and I guess this is where I drew the parallel. Your career sort of started with this celebrity interaction, right? You know, you were meeting these people off for Kai, then you were eventually doing celebrities' nails, and obviously you still do that. And from a marketing perspective, obviously celebrity endorsement is just as important today as it was back in 1999, right? So is that the through line? Is that still important to your business?
I think it is important to our business. I think that one of the things that's very, very different about us is that we've never paid a celebrity for anything. We've never been able to pay a celebrity for anything. And obviously for celebrities, they make a lot of money off of endorsements. I've just been very, very blessed that the celebrities that I work with have been very supportive and they knew how important, they knew more than I did. I mean, my very first celebrity collaboration, which was with Sarah Jessica Parker. And it was a color that I made for her. She had always worn this color, one of my very first nude pink in the collection that was called Prelude to a Kiss. She's no longer with us, that color. I miss her.
Oh my God, I was like, wait, what happened?
Sarah Jessica is awesome.
We retired Sarah Jessica's color?
We retired the color.
Do you still speak to her?
No. We retired Prelude to a Kiss, which was my very first nude pink. And the color that Sarah Jessica wore all the time. I was doing her nails during everything. And she put my polish, you know, it would show up in Sex and the City in different places, like on the TV. My brother called me and go, did you just see that? I'm like, I haven't seen it yet. Yeah, the celebrity thing was really, really important in those. But I don't think it's the be all end all. I mean, I think it's good product. And I think that, you know, in terms of like everybody that wants to start their own brand isn't holding hands with celebrities every day. And that was something that's such a blessing for me.
But it's definitely starts with good product for sure. But I think the other thing that I see here is authentic relationships, right? You actually know these people, they trust you. You've always come from a place of education and sort of like how this is good for you. And I think that that makes a really big difference.
Yes, you're right. And I think that, you know, the authentic relationship building we had with our labs, like that we have with the people that we work with, it's not just a celebrity, it's the customer. It's like I have, I think I posted something about Michaela's wedding and customers that I met in the store at Barney's at some personal appearance that we became friendly with wrote to me and were like, what, you're in Florida and you didn't call?
Oh my God, that's so cute. I love that. I mean,
I like people. I like people. It's genuine and people feel that. And I think it helps with everything.
Are there any rules today with regard to colors you need to wear or not wear certain places? So for example, when I was getting married, I told my manicurist that I wanted red nails and she was horrified. She was like, you can't wear red nails to your wedding. I'm like, no, but like I'm wearing red lipstick. And she's like, that's even worse. Are there rules?
I would have put the red on you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I would have put the red on you and I have put the red on people. And probably when it was less popular to do it. But I think that there are no rules anymore. Those rules are... gone. I think in terms of like, if you're doing a hair and makeup look, I mean, if you're doing a red carpet look, I never want the nails to walk in before the face and the hair and the dress. Like,
okay, that's interesting. But I would think like, why not?
Well,
you're being respectful of the whole
thing. I'm being respectful of the whole thing. But I think if I, so there were many times that my husband and brother would be like, why did you use that color? Like, why didn't you go?
Oh, I love them. They're so funny.
There's a very infamous in our brand story about, I was doing Lady Gaga's nails for the Grammys when she was singing Born This Way for the first time.
Oh my God.
And I had done some kind of really epic, weird nails on the video. But oh my gosh, my gut, sometimes my gut gets me into trouble. So I was at the Staples Center or wherever it was, and we were there for several days doing rehearsals and stuff. And I was there backstage, and I just would sometimes sit outside the dressing room and see like kind of star after star after star with the long nails that had become trendy after kind of Gaga brought it back with long, pointy-ish nail. And I'd done her nails were finished, hair and makeup was going on. It was the year that she was coming out on the red carpet inside a box. And I thought, everybody on the show is going to have long, studded, crazy, you know, big, long nails. And this is Born This Way. And she was wearing like this kind of yellow, we called it a condom costume. And I had was finishing her, I was done with her nails, and she was sitting like in makeup, but her eyes could see me. And she was like, what, Deborah? And I was like, nothing. I'm just sitting here. And she's like, no, you're thinking, because I guess that I was eyeballing her nails. And then I must have been making faces. Long story short, I said, I just don't know if you're being born, if you're just coming out of the womb and we're talking about all the stuff, like maybe you don't have this super long nail and maybe it's not this color. And she was like, oh my God, open your kit. And I opened my kit, and in my kit was a bag of colors that weren't produced yet for our brand, but they were just in my kit because they were launching at some point. And there was this sheer yellow. And she was like, that's the color. And I was like, that's what I'm thinking. And, but this one side of my head was going, it's not for sale. Like, I can't, like, she's the biggest star in the world. And yeah, I can hear it now. It's for sale. Like, I'm like, yeah, it was for sale soon. I mean, it was going to be like on the shelves in 3 months. It was coming out, but it was not out. And therefore, I should not probably, if I were a really great business person, I may have not used
that. Oh, no, I think you were genius, actually. That's how you take pre-orders, Deborah. You know that.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you've seen it all. You've seen it all behind the scenes. Have you ever done a manicure where people was like, I hate it. You have to redo it. I don't like it.
Oh, I'm sure I have. I mean, usually, I'm sure. I mean, there are manicures that I've done that I've been like, I finished it and thought, I hate it. I need to redo it. There's so much that goes on. I mean,
Do you still do a lot of like the actual manicures?
I do.
So, you mean you've built this incredible brand and you're still expanding it and you're still doing your thing. How do you ultimately want to leave your mark?
How do I want to leave my mark? Oh my gosh. Let's see. Well, there has been talk of a one-woman show on Broadway with my
story. Oh. So ultimately, being on stage for you is your happy place.
My happy, happy, happy place.
And also happy for the people who are watching you and listening to you. That's so amazing. Deborah, you're amazing. This is incredible. I mean, to have started this brand in 1999, it's just the longevity, I think, speaks to you as a person. And like I said, the relationships that you've built, and obviously you have great support with your family, your husband, your brother, but I'm so happy for you. That's amazing.
Thank you. And I'm so happy for you.
Nothing to be happy for me. Other than today, I'm on vacation this week. Woohoo!
Woo! Oh, this is vacation?
This is vacation. This is vacation. I love seeing you on my vacation. This is great. It's a staycation. It's a staycation. All right. Well, this was awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening to Leave Your Mark, the podcast. If you want more career advice, be sure to pick up a copy of my best-selling book, Leave Your Mark. If you're on Instagram, make sure to follow at Leave Your Mark Podcast to stay up with the latest episodes. And of course, say hi to me at Aliza Licht XO. If you're on Twitter, definitely reach out at Aliza Licht. I would love to hear from you. If you want to subscribe to my newsletter or attend a future virtual mentoring event, go to alizalicht.com for more information. And just remember this, if change doesn't hurt a little, it's not change. Keep on rocking.